Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, here is Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network with the latest, as of yesterday afternoon, the latest on Deshaun Watson.
Here's what's going on in the Deshaun Watson situation. You have multiple teams, not just the Miami Dolphins, multiple teams are in talks with the Houston Texans on potentially trading for Deshaun Watson. That does not mean, as of right now, this very second, that a trade is imminent, just that there is, in fact, interest. Carolina Panthers believed to be one of those teams, and there are some others. So that is where the trade talks stand. Nothing has been done, but the interest is there. Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson's legal situation is still, as of right now, unresolved. Teams are still interested in trading for Watson, even if that does not get resolved. So that is another thing to keep an eye on. Plus, Watson is in shape. He is ready to go football-wise, and there has been no indication, Tom, that the NFL will place him on the commissioner's exempt list. So if the Texans do trade him rather than have him sit on the inactive list for the rest of the season, he would be eligible to play right away.
All right, so one other thing to point out here, and this is according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN.com, the talk all along had been that Deshaun would only approve a trade of the Miami Dolphins. According to Jeremy Fowler, Deshaun Watson has softened his stance on that and would look at other teams outside of the Dolphins. The Carolina Panthers seem to be the one that is being referred to there because the Dolphins and the Panthers are the two teams with imminent quarterback issues, current quarterback issues that are trying to turn seasons around, and both have owners that have been reported to really want Deshaun Watson on their team. Seth, I guess here's, at least for the next couple minutes where I wanted to go with this, was if this is being driven more by interest in the Dolphins and the Panthers to get Deshaun, as opposed to interest in the Texans in unloading Deshaun, like that's a whole nother thing. If the interest in this is being driven and motivated by the Texans driving things, then we're going to be entering a world where the Texans are taking a discount for Deshaun Watson. That's not a great world to live in. If we are in the world where Carolina and the Dolphins maybe now are in some sort of bidding war for Deshaun Watson, we can get into what the compensation would be in just a second. But how much of it do you think would be motivated by, I think this could be a big part of it. I thought this when it was just the Dolphins, when people were going, why would they do this? Because they've stepped back, assessed the PR risk, assessed the risk of Deshaun not playing at some point because of a suspension, assessed the legal risk and said, you know what? We're willing to take this on because we do not want to be in a market with nine other suitors come March and April. We'd rather be in a captive market or a market with just one other team than be in a market with six, seven, eight other teams. And I've got teams in mind that I want to bounce off of you, but just in general, how much do you think that motivation could be that, hey, this is a market where all these other teams that might want Deshaun in 2022, they're focused on the season right now. They're not focused on getting Deshaun Watson.
And you're rapidly approaching that point where teams are going to start wondering, like, should we be focused on this season?
Right.
Like, how salvageable is it? The Steelers, you know, if the Steelers hadn't won a couple games in the last few weeks, then the Steelers might very well say, like, all right, look, let's go out and grab this guy now. And just, like, what happened with the Carolina Panthers? I mean, frankly, the Steelers should be in that position as far as whether they should take Deshaun or not, that's a whole other deal. But they know that Ben Roethlisberger is not the answer moving forward. I think that's true. That's very possible. Sean, there's one other thing here that people are not going to be happy to hear at all.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you're listening, I think there's a lot of our listeners that are going to be really upset when I say this. But one thing that might get Deshaun Watson to say okay or consider more teams is which one of those teams are offering a pay increase guaranteed money. Yeah. that Deshaun might come out of this with a better contract.
So
than
if
he has
Philly,
right now.
If Philly wants him, Philly's got to take him from 35 to 40 million next year.
Philly, or
boy,
Philly
can you
might
imagine?
Say, like, or we're going to guarantee more of your contract or what have you. Yeah,
I. You know what? Like that just. I mean, purely conceptually, that bothers me. You know that just yeah. that bothers me in principle. That bothers me as a Texan fan. Whatever, you know, like
right.
If Philly wants to pay $10 million extra to get him off our hands, great.
Except that you got to be sitting there and thinking, like, wait a second, was this the holdup all along? Like,
yes.
Wait a second. Okay, Deshaun. All right. You gummed up this thing enough by asking for a trade and then by getting charged or getting served with 22 lawsuits alleging sexual assault. And now I find out that this thing could have been done a long time ago, except you were asking for more money. That would make people flip out. Now, that's just a theory by me. I'm not saying that's what happened or not, but there is a chance that could loosen up the restrictions a little bit.
Because here's I think it's a really good point, Seth, for the following reasons. One, he's lost some of his sponsors. That's a lot of money. Two, the big money for Deshaun. I get it, $10 million is a lot of money. The big money for Deshaun is not till next year. $35 million starts next season, and we don't know what his legal bills look like right now. Rusty Harden ain't cheap, and they are doing. And it ain't just Rusty Harden. Rusty Harden has multiple lawyers that are working for him on this case. They've flown to different parts of the country to interview people and travel all over the place. So we don't know. And Deshaun's got a pretty expensive lifestyle if we're to take his Instagram at face value. So there, you're right. There's a lot of financial calculus in this where he might be doing it out of necessity as much as he is just out of, you know, ego or whatever the case may be. Let me ask you this. So other teams that could get in on this, let's pretend that November 2nd, next Tuesday, a week from today, comes and goes and Deshaun Watson is not traded. If the offseason rolls around, do you think any of these teams, who I think could potentially have enough quarterback issues to where they would look at Deshaun Watson, do you think Deshaun Watson would approve a trade to any of these four teams?
Okay.
Because we know the teams that are in it already. None of these are Denver, Philly, or we've talked about those, Carolina, Miami. We've talked about those teams. These are all teams that would be new to the mix compared to last spring. The Cleveland Browns, if they don't feel that Baker Mayfield is worthy of the big contract that maybe Baker feels like he's worth, could the Cleveland Browns get into the Deshaun Watson mix? And would he approve a trade there?
I don't think he would.
Okay.
I think that he would not want to go to Cleveland the same way that Odell Beckham Jr. didn't want to go to Cleveland. I just the fact that Deshaun has his eyes or his heart set on Miami reportedly makes me feel like it that has to be driven almost primarily by lifestyle factors, not actual football team factors, you know? So it's hard for me to believe that that's where Deshaun would want to go.
Pittsburgh. You just mentioned Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is a little bit different because it has such a vocal and loyal national fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever, it's at least, 30 minutes closer to New York City, I suppose?
In Cleveland, yeah.
Well, maybe like 7 minutes by air closer to New York City. But Pittsburgh, he might go for it just because it's got more cachet than Cleveland.
Yeah. The New York Football Giants.
Yeah, I think he could be talked into that just again because of the New York City aspect, the old guard nature of the NFC East, all that.
And it's New York. I mean, he's as marketing centric an athlete as we know of. It's New York. He was ready to approve a trade to the Jets, you know. So I can't imagine he wouldn't approve one of the Giants. And I would say this: if you're a Texan fan. To me, that's the team I've been rooting for, Seth, to be
the Giants.
To morph into a Deshaun candidate. They've got their pick, which is going to be a high pick. They've got Chicago's pick from the Justin Fields trade, which right now is shaping up to be a decent enough pick. I think Chicago's 3-4 now, but they're not trending in the right direction. So New York is one. I'm with you. Okay, how about this one? What if Jameis is just a one-year solution for the New Orleans Saints?
Oh, boy, New Orleans. Boy, that's a good one. I hadn't even thought of that. Even as I'm wondering last night, is like, hey, what is Jameis Winston anyway? Do we know? What do you know what the hell's going on here with Jameis? But would Deshaun approve that? Would he approve it to the North? Because, and again, man, I wish I could talk about like the actual football prospects and everything else, but I don't know. I just don't know how much that's a factor. So I would say from a football standpoint, yes, you're working with Sean Payton, that you've got way more support from that defense than you did in Houston or that you would have in Miami. Is the city of New Orleans as appealing to him as maybe some of those other marquee destinations? I would guess no. Just as much as New Orleans is an awesome place to hang out and visit, it's a relatively small market and doesn't have the same marketing cachet as or power as a lot of those other places.
It doesn't. I would be, honestly, you know, and I know Deshaun has denied all this stuff that he's been accused of, but the one thing we know is that Deshaun likes booking massages on Instagram. Like, Deshaun does, there is an element to Deshaun that feels like, to me, put aside the stuff he's been accused of, he can be innocent of everything he's accused of, and my take that I'm about to give you still stands up, that I would be worried about Deshaun in a city like New Orleans, given all the stuff that he's admitted to. You know, that there's all those, the trappings. I would be nervous about Miami. You know,
yeah.
Like the trappings of a city like that would make me pause if I were the Saints. Now, he is a great football player, and it's something that they would, you know, probably negotiate with themselves a little bit. Okay, it's New Orleans. Do we think, are we sure that Deshaun has everything out of his system that he has admitted to? That would be something that I would at least factor into my risk assessment if I were the New Orleans Saints.
They do currently have as their quarterback one Jameis Winston. So
fair,
yeah.
This is a rehabilitated Jameis Winston.
Jameis cleaned himself up a few years ago. He quit drinking and everything, but there is that factor there.
If Jameis
can keep his nose clean in New Orleans, then I feel like this is his greatest test, and he'll be completely rehabilitated by the time he gets out of there.
All right, World Series starts tonight. Game one is tonight, 7:09, first pitch over at Minute Maid Park. The fellas will be out there, I believe, over by the Away Out Bail Bonds. I believe we're going to be down there again today. So go see the fellas the afternoon. Clint Sterner in the show. Congress and Crawford is where you can find them out there. Also, we're giving Texans tickets away. It's a Texans ticket Tuesday, 9:45. We're doing it 45 past each hour, exclusively here on Sports Radio 610. Rams, Texans tickets between 9:45 and 10 o'clock is your next chance to win. We're doing it all day, all the way up until 6 p.m. Up next, which team in the World Series has the overall talent advantage top to bottom with the roster? An interesting way to look at the answer to that question that we will take you through next.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so the Astros play the Braves tonight, game one of the World Series. Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610. ESPN did an interesting thing, Seth, in advance of this series. I was reading all kinds of Braves-Astros preview stuff yesterday, and one of the things they did that I thought was really interesting, they ranked all 52 of the players playing in this World Series, kind of like a power ranking, almost like a big board, like a draft board, but just of the 52 players who would be playing in this World Series. I don't know if you've looked at this yet, but who do you think they put as the number one overall player in this World Series? ESPN, it's Kylie McDaniel, who I believe, ESPN MLB insider, who I believe used to work in the Braves front office.
Let's see, if they're going to go by war, they'd have to put Carlos Correa as
Here's the key. And I'm not saying your answer is wrong.
Okay.
The whole thing is they even said in the Kylie even said in the preamble to the ranking, this isn't just a descending ranking of war because that's useless. There's still a good bit of noise. It's kind of like our circle of trust, but across both teams. Like, who do you just feel best about?
I'd say Carlos Correa for lifetime playoff production,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Correa's number one on this list. Correa's number one on the list. Freddie Freeman is number two, and that's how I would have ranked them. These are the MVPs of their respective teams, ranking at one and two on the list. You're shaking your head. What's
I'm trying to find the article because I felt like it had been – oh, there it is. Yeah. I was in the wrong spot on our show rundown.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I thought you moved it on me as like some kind of cruel prank.
No, I moved it because it's 9:18 a.m.
I was trying to cheat and tell you who I thought it was going to be. I was going to
peek behind the curtain.
I was either going to go with Carlos Correa or Freddie Freeman, and then I remembered like, oh yeah, wait, Carlos Correa's playoff production will vastly surpass anything Freddie Freeman has done. So and he plays a more important position than first base, obviously.
I think it's one of the most encouraging things going into this World Series is the Astros got it done in the ALCS against Boston. And Correa, Altuve, Bregman, Brantley had, especially Bregman, Altuve, and Brantley, the top three in your order, all had way less productive series than you expect them to have in the play. I mean, Correa's one RBI was the home run that he hit in game one. That was it. He didn't drive in any more runs the entire series other than that one RBI. It was on the back of Yordan and Kyle Tucker. Like, those were the guys getting it done for you.
I think some of that, though, too, is a little bit of what is lost is how much pressure all those guys are still putting
on
pitchers.
And Yuli, by the way. Sorry,
the entire time. That still how much pressure those guys are putting on pitchers all the time with smart at-bats, with strategy. You could see with Correa, in Game 6 especially, it looked like Correa was ready to pounce, and I think he was getting what he wanted, and he just couldn't make contact. But like you could tell that he had the strategy right, and it didn't pan out. And I think that, like, the smart at-bats, the games that some of these guys play, by the time a pitcher gets to the sixth or seventh guy in the lineup, he's kind of frazzled, you know? And I'm not saying that those guys wouldn't be producing well regardless, but it's just that constant having somebody on base, having somebody up next who's been watching all your pitches, all of that just it leads to a flood that overtakes these pitchers.
How about this? The number three player on this list, on this ranking, Correa 1, Freddie Freeman 2. It's a ranking of all 52 players in this World Series. Kyle Tucker, number three on this list. Kyle Tucker, who's forgotten sometimes, right? Yeah. Kyle Tucker, number three. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be. I think it's cool that he's getting recognized away. And Charlie Morton is number four on the list. Kyle Tucker 3, Charlie Morton 4, Yordan 5, Altuve 6. That's your four of the top six are Astros.
Well, and some of the problem is too, Sean, that by virtue of expectations and the fact that some of your guys like Yordan have been having such incredible postseasons, it's that guys like Kyle Tucker, who have gone about and had like nice postseasons, are somehow being talked about as like, oh well, at some point he'll break out of his shell. Like, no, he's been having a pretty good. Bregman's actually been hitting pretty well in the postseason. He just hasn't been a hero yet. There can only be so many heroes. There's only so many wins to go around.
Well, Yordan was just so off the charts good. I mean, he had an historic ALCS, especially those last two games. When I look at this, Seth, I look at this top six of the players in this series, starting at 1 through 6, Correa, Freddie Freeman, Kyle Tucker, Charlie Morton, Yordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve. You look at that and just put Altuve aside, just the top five, it's kind of instructive as to why it's going to be so difficult to sign Carlos Correa this offseason, not only because he's perceived as the best player in the World Series, but because Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez are 3 and 5 on this list, And you're going to have to find a way to sign both of those guys at some point. They're both going to get more expensive through mere arbitration in the next few years, not to mention down the road, where I have to imagine Yordan Alvarez is an Altuve-level priority for this team. I mean, Yordan Alvarez is going to compete for batting titles and triple crowns at some point. I think he's that good a hitter. And for all the things Correa does defensively, if you've got a guy that you feel like can hit 320 or 330, and Yordan's got that capability, like he's like a robot that's becoming self-aware at this point. He's got that, you know, the numbers Vladimir Guerrero was putting up this year. Yordan Alvarez, once he truly is plugged in and gets it, is going to be putting up those. He did put up those kind of numbers in his rookie year in 87 games, actually. So
I think that if you look at a lot of the simulations and whatnot, I know 538.com has the Astros and Braves right now at 50-50 when they run all their simulations. And I think they had been more bullish on the Astros, but I think they ran some new simulations once they found out that Lance McCullers was out, and they're about 50-50. I think Fangraphs has the Astros about like 57% or so. A lot of that, as I stare at this list of the top players in the playoffs, I think if you look at – a lot of that's based on the fact that the Braves have three stud starting pitchers.
Yes.
And that they're dependable. You can roll them out there, and there doesn't have to be a whole lot of creativity to it. You just roll those guys out, starting tonight with Charlie Morton, and it's easy to predict what those guys are going to do. Where with the Astros, it's anybody's guess. You know, based on last series especially, exactly who and what you're going to see on any given night. And I don't think computers like that, and I don't think prognosticators like that. I'm feeling perhaps irrationally cocky because I've seen the Astros do this so many times before. I'm feeling, I guess, justifiably cocky that they'll be able to use their pitchers as creatively as they need to, the same way they did in the ALCS, because everybody's well-rested. Knock on wood, everybody other than McCullers seems to be healthy. Urquidy's really the big question mark right now. We've seen very little of him in the postseason. He wasn't himself coming back from his injury in September. And it's anybody's guess exactly what you're going to get out of him if he starts a game here.
This player ranking thing that I'm looking at here, I think there's some validity to it. Astros with four of the six best players in this series, 10 of the best 18 players in this series, 18 of the best 32 players in this series. I'm about to tell you something that's going to make you mad. Well, I say make you mad. It's one person's opinion from ESPN.com. They've got Martin Maldonado as the 40th best player out of 52 players in a series.
He's not even as good as any of the starters.
Is he? Is he the most misunderstood player in terms of his value? He might be the most misunderstood player in baseball for people to just look at his offensive stats and go, boy, how can you have a guy like this in your lineup whose OPS is 560?
This is the problem, Sean. You know what it is?
What?
It's a Martin Maldonado is a Brian McCann who has not played for the Yankees. It's that, okay, he doesn't have the – and he wasn't ever – you know, Brian McCann in his younger days was a better offensive but Brian McCann of the Astros World Series was not a productive offensive player whatsoever. But he had a reputation as a guy that called a great game, provided all that veteran leadership, all of that. And that's exactly what Martin Maldonado is doing. It's just that people don't really know about Martin Maldonado as much as Brian McCann.
Castro is 30th on the list and Machete is 40th on the list. Okay, your list just fell apart, Kylie McDaniel. The Castro, and I'm the biggest Castro apologist there is. Martin Maldonado belongs higher on those. If we're just looking at the overall player, you know, Castro, good pinch hitter. If you're looking at the
They've got Jake Meyers above Martin Maldonado.
Yeah, that's silly. That's
you just, know, I mean, like, we don't even know if Jake Meyers is going to play this series. It's
Well, no, I will not stand
here and abide by this Martin Maldonado slander any longer. Damn it!
The Athletic has their slew of MLB experts that make their picks on the series. As you said, 538.com, the analytics website, has it close to a coin flip. 62% of the experts pick the Astros. 62%, yeah, and then the other 38% pick the Braves. A lot of Dusty Baker chatter in that piece with the Athletic. I Dusty Baker, very likable amongst writers that are picking this World Series.
Oh, so for them, that was just a survey of writers.
Survey of writers is all, yeah.
Okay.
Survey of writers. All right, what is a reasonable haul for Deshaun Watson? Not so much the number of picks, but how are the picks spread out and how do players factor in? Because if one of the teams that's pursuing Deshaun with the Texans winds up being the suitor, it may be players that are coming back in return. We'll discuss that. We'll give you final thoughts on the Astros as well. Giving away some Texans tickets between 9:45 and 10 a.m. This is a busy final segment. That's next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, a reminder, about 10 minutes from now, the window of the store will open for you to win Texans-Rams tickets, 9:45 to 10 a.m. We'll play a sounder for you between 9:45 and the end of the show, and you'll get a chance to win Texans-Rams tickets. Seth, so back to Deshaun Watson. We are a week away from the trade deadline, so 1 week from today, we will, by the end of the day, a week from today, we'll have much better clarity as to what things look like, at least for the foreseeable future for the Texans. If they moved on from Deshaun Watson, then it's on to the draft for a lot of us, you know, especially if the picks that they get are high picks for this year. If Deshaun Watson is still with the Texans, then that opens up a whole nother set of encyclopedias, and the legal matters are still in our lives here as far as something that affects the football team. And I don't want to diminish the nature of the legal stuff as well. I feel like I should caveat that every now and then. We understand the nature of the accusations. Texans cap put out an interesting question as far as the Deshaun Watson trade goes, Seth, and I'm curious what your preference would be. Is it better to have multiple ones and twos in 2 years of drafts or multiple picks spread out over 3 years of drafts? Like, and depending on who the ultimate destination is for Deshaun Watson, there may have to be players involved. Like, Carolina doesn't have the draft capital that Miami has, so there may have to be players involved. But in general, do you have a construct of a package that you're hoping to get here for Nick Caserio and the Texans?
In an ideal world, I'd want as many really good picks in the first 2 years. And I guess I shouldn't say in an ideal world. I would say that's completely a practical consideration, because if I'm a general manager or a head coach, I know that sometimes – despite an owner's best intentions, they're not going to give you 3 years to really start showing the progress. And that is as quickly as you can turn it around as possible is your best bet at job security. And I also think, too, I think there's a tendency to think, okay, well, if we spread it out over 3 or 4 years, then you can bring these guys along slowly, and then also you're staggering when those guys get the new deals and what have you. Here's the problem, is that you're not going to hit on all of those those picks. You're just not. So if you have the bad luck of not hitting on any of the first couple picks you get, then all of a sudden the pressure is that much greater, and maybe all is lost anyway. So it's just, if you could be the best GM in the world and you're only going to get hit, and maybe you hit 50% of your first and second round picks, and that would be pretty good. The bad luck would be if the 50% you don't hit are all in those next 2 years.
I think the 2 year thing is optimal. I think the choice of having multiple ones and twos over 2 years, because it's really hard. These are going to be the players that are probably going to be the foundation of your team moving forward, the players that you get with these picks and your own picks. And I think one of the real challenges for a GM, especially in football, Seth, where the windows for careers are so short, is timing up the life cycles, the career arcs of your core players, and trying to have as many guys in that window of age 23, say, through 28 as you can. Yeah. You know, that are growing together at the same time. I think that's it's a bigger challenge in football, just because the life cycle for a great player in basketball and baseball is just longer because of the nature of the sport. Football, it's already a super physical sport where you can have something happen out of the blue. Out of the blue retirements in football are way more prevalent than they are in either of the other sports. So I think whatever you can do to narrow the time frame of putting that core group together and making it as simultaneous, for lack of a better word, as possible, that makes me more comfortable in terms of how you go about building the core of the team.
You know, but it is a very real consideration. Okay, wait a second. What if you have all these first-round picks over the course of 2 years, and then they all become free agents at the same time? It does create a kind of a pinch, and you have to might have to make some tough decisions. And where I burned myself on this before was, I can remember when the Texans were about to draft Clowney, a lot of people said, well, wait a second, what if Clowney works out and then you have to pay both J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney? And I said, hey, baby, we'll worry about that problem when we get to it. You know, that's no big deal. And I'm saying that after the Texans had already had to let Mario Williams walk in free agency because they didn't have any money to pay him,
right?
You know, and for pass rushers especially, they're so expensive to retain. They make so much money in free agency. So even though Clowney didn't work out to be exactly what you hoped he would, it was still a pinch there, and they certainly didn't want to pay him as much money as Clowney thought he was worth. Oh boy. So I guess if I were a GM and I knew for sure that I had a 6-year leash, then I would actually accept it over time. I gotta really believe that I got like a San Francisco 49ers type situation here where I'm gonna be kept around no matter what.
If you won the lottery, would you take the cash option or the annuities over like 20 years? You would?
Cash option, although because there's a time value of money. You get that lump sum up front. This is the problem, though, because I think a lot of times people say, well, look, cash option makes the most sense because you'll make more on interest and what have you. People need to recognize their own weaknesses. And I think sometimes people that win the lottery, it's not like all of a sudden they've got a lifetime of financial acumen built up and that they're going to manage that to get the utmost yield and all that. I think sometimes it's best for somebody that wins a lottery to have it spread out over 20 years so that by year 7, 8, or 9, they'll have learned a few things and they'll realize like, oh, okay, wait a second. When the gravy train ends, I got to be sure that I'm set up. And that they'll have I actually, even though it doesn't make the strict mathematical sense, I recommend to people to go ahead and take the 20-year payout.
Yeah, unless you already
feel really confident that you're going to manage it the right way.
Yeah, I don't. I would definitely be taking the 20-year option. I completely fear myself when it comes to getting a big lump sum like that. I don't know a lot, but I know myself, and I would get irresponsible with that money, I think.
Yeah, a lot of times athletes fall into the same trap, is that they're getting advice from well-meaning people, but people who are older and that also have more financial discipline than a 24-year-old or a 25-year-old.
Right.
And, like, getting as much money up front and right now does make sense strictly from a financial standpoint, but it's not always the best from a psychological standpoint.
All right, a reminder, in about 2.5 minutes, the window will open for you to win, potentially win, Rams and Texans tickets for Sunday on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. 45 past each hour all the way up until 6 p.m. Is your opportunity to win. So the next one is coming here in a few minutes. Here was Jose Altuve yesterday at the Astros workout when asked about Game 1 Atlanta starter and former teammate Charlie Morton.
The best you can ever have. You know, he's that good. He's amazing. I only have good things to say about him, and, you know, I wish him but the best in his life and his career.
Seth said earlier in the show that he feels like Jose Altuve was being forced to say that, like he was in a hostage video.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious at this point that Charlie Morton is a pathological... he's a psychopath, okay? I think it's pretty obvious.
That's not the word you used in the first hour of the show.
What did I say
you
then?
You called him a slut.
Oh, well, that too. Yeah, he's a baseball slut. He just goes to whoever's going to the World Series next.
Right.
And Sean might say, well, look, did he really know that the Rays or the Braves were going to go to the World Series? Yeah, he did. You know why? Because he's ridiculously cocky. Cocky, arrogant Charlie. Charlie... Affing Morton,
right,
stands for look, this people need to understand. I'm going to pull the veil off here. Yeah. Charlie Morton is a diabolical psychopath who has threatened and terrified his way to prominence in this league, and I wouldn't put it above him as maybe having paid off a few umpires along the way.
Okay. So along those lines, Seth asked earlier in the show, and I got to say, the listeners, you guys may have stepped up bigger on this text topic than any in the history of the show. Seth requested on the text page, 713-572-4610, reasons why Charlie Morton is a horrible person. And then I would say that most of these, you know, may or may not be true. For example, Charlie Morton takes a swig of milk, then takes a hit of chocolate syrup and swishes it around in his mouth to make chocolate milk.
Oh, that's so Charlie Morton. Yeah. Then he does it, but you know what he does? He's drinking right out of the carton in the clubhouse refrigerator.
Mm.
Yep. For Pete's sake.
Yep.
Why, that's so funny.
I heard that Charlie Morton was the one that drove Gerrit Cole off. He was like, Charlie Morton would never stop talking to Garrett about how awesome the Yankees are and just like how cool it would be to go play for your boyhood dream team. Yeah.
Charlie Morton eats tacos with a fork. Yeah, that would make you a bad person, I would say.
Fork and knife. He does that. Yeah, like, eating hard tacos with a fork and knife.
This is hard tacos. Charlie Morton holds the door open when you're half a mile away and makes you feel like you need to run to the door. Yeah.
That person is a bad...
You know, that's actually probably true, because Charlie Morton would think he's doing you a solid, but he's like yelling from 100 yards. I got this. Don't worry. No. You don't need to run. That's a good one.
That is probably a true one about Charlie Morton. I bet he does hold the door for anybody and everybody.
Charlie Morton forgets to turn off his turn signal and leaves it on for miles and miles.
That's 100% true.
Yep. Charlie Morton is the guy your mother-in-law wanted your wife to originally marry. Yeah, see, that may actually be
true. That might be the actual, yeah.
Yeah, some of these may actually be true.
You know the thing about Charlie Morton? That is true, that like he probably a couple of questionable character women in high school like chose the bad boy over Charlie Morton, and now they're sitting there telling their husband or their ex-husband about like, oh wow, I could have had Charlie Morton. Look at him. He's the perfect human being. Because little does she know the secrets he's been hiding all these years.
That's right. Let's see. Charlie Morton likes steaks well done. Yeah, that would make him a bad person. Yeah, he puts ketchup on steaks. Yes. Mm-hmm. That would make him a horrible person.
He is from Tampa originally, after all, is he not?
No, he's from Connecticut originally.
Is he from Connecticut?
He is.
He has a place in
Tampa.
He's
from Reading, Connecticut. Yes. He is a Connecticut. Which, that could make him unlikable. That's Fairfield County, Connecticut.
I didn't realize he was that rich.
Reading is in a really nice part of the state. That's not the hardscrabble streets that I grew up on in Simsbury, Connecticut.
Yeah.
The wrong side of the tracks. you know,
Charlie Morton took a pay cut when he entered arbitration, right? From his stipend.
Yeah.
From his monthly stipend from his daddy.
That's right.
That's what I heard.
That's right.
Yep.
He was slumming it on his first Major League Baseball salary.
Is it true that his father's company dumped chemical waste into the backyards of preschools?
I don't even know what his father did.
Well, that was one of the things that he probably did.
Probably did, yeah. Charlie Morton thinks Tim Duncan was better than Hakeem Olajuwon. Ooh, them's fighting
words. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Them's fighting words.
Oh, my. How did we harbor this criminal for so many years?
I know.
Good Lord.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Yeah, the one big thing that I always feel a little bit weird about, and this is an actually true thing, is that Charlie Morton did say that he would rather retire than play anywhere other than the Astros.
Yeah.
And now he's on his second team.
Two teams later.
For the Astros.
Two teams and a couple $15 million paychecks later.
The problem with that is that the Astros didn't even try to re-sign him.
Right.
It was like all they had to do was offer him, what did he make that year? Was he making like $10 million a year?
With the Astros?
In Tampa?
No, with 15. Tampa. He signed 3 years, 15. 45. Yep.
Three or $45 million.
Yep.
I think if he Charlie Morton's kind of the opposite of J.D. Martinez, where, like, okay, J.D. Martinez was a guy who had never quite figured it out, but it looked like he finally had after spending a winter ball in, what, Venezuela that year?
Yep.
And working with a new swing coach. It looked like he had turned it out, but Jeff Luhnow chose to go by the analytics, which says a guy his age never all of a sudden figures it out. Lo and behold, he figured it out.
Exactly.
With Charlie Morton, it was obvious that he had figured it out, and he was a much different and better pitcher than he had been before, just by virtue of staying healthy. But I think there, what Luhnow was thinking was, well, yeah, but he's old, and he's going to get injured. Like, this is a guy who was injury-prone early in his career, and now he's getting older, so we won't do it. I wonder if Luhnow changes his calculations now moving forward, or if he was still in baseball.
Yeah, it turns out they were wrong. I mean, they definitely should have kept Charlie Morton.
Go ahead.
Our buddy Chris in Atlanta checking in. Listener formerly from Houston, now in Atlanta.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, did Charlie Morton hit him in traffic?
Let me read the text here. Possibly. Okay. Let's see. Hey, Sean and Seth, Chris in Atlanta here. Pump for the World Series. These two teams are so alike in makeup, but different in motivation. The Stros are trying to prove something. The Braves have nothing to prove, which scares me. Anyway, I'll probably be wearing my Stros gear here in the ATL. What kind of credence do you give to the dynamic? Forget about the Astros dynamic, because we've talked about that ad nauseum. Like, are they trying to prove everybody wrong and redemption from 2017? Do you feel like the Braves are the team that are coming into this series, Seth, a little kind of loose because the pressure's not really on them, that there's more pressure on the Astros in this series? Is there anything
to that? I don't
know if
I'm buying that. Yeah, I think the thing – well, there is a little bit of a nothing-to-lose feeling to the Braves. And it goes back to, you know, like when Jock Peterson came in and they changed their attitude or their energy about it all. Except, and that might normally bother me, except that the Astros are so good under pressure.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the fact that the Astros thrive under pressure and they have so much playoff experience, I think that only heightens the chances that the Astros win. And that really, honestly, and the reason that I'll pick the Astros in six in this series is that we've seen this time after time every single year now that the Astros just outclass people in the playoffs. They have more experience. They're more comfortable in these big moments, and inevitably somebody steps up. The other thing about the Braves, I don't know, it's not like the current players are part of their losing legacy in the World Series, but this team has a recent history, like within the past few decades, of losing World Series.
They do.
And, you know, I mean, how much of that do they feel from the fans or what have you? I don't know. I hate bagging on a team for only winning one World Series after making it four times, but it is a thing.
Astros in five, Framber Valdez, World Series MVP. He wins game one, he wins game five, he brings home World Series MVP. That's my prediction. Stros in five. Congrats to Alfredo in Houston, winning the Texans and Rams tickets. Next chance to win, 10:45 today on In the Loop. Seth, antibodies to you. Enjoy game one tonight, my friend.
Antibodies to you, and also, as one of our listeners points out, take the cash option on the lottery if you have the discipline to set up a trust. It's very key. You have the discipline to set up, and do it with an actual attorney, not somebody that your buddy recommends.
Words to live by. In the Loop is up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Go Stros.
You've had enough Charlie Morton. I'm on to the next trick, bitches.
He's amazing.
I like the Astros in 7 if you care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.